A lot of leaders have a great deal of frustration and concern with regard to the leadership of teams and moving teams to decision making. Many leaders find it very difficult for teams to sometimes move past impasses and challenges in relationship to focus on decisions, outcomes, and the effective processes necessary to get there. Often you'll see in decision teams the movement towards voting or some kind of consensus agreement on the team. As we know based on the research, voting is the least effective way of moving towards decision and ends up choosing the popular decision instead of the right decision. Bob Frisch has really even demonstrated in a best practices article in the Harvard Business Review in November 2008 when he demonstrates that voting often alienates those who are voting and alienates them from the relationship with the CEO when they force the CEO essentially into making decisions for them, or the vote that they take is in opposition to the CEO just for the sake of disagreeing with the CEO or the team leader, whoever may be essentially directing teams. The director is then looked at as a dictator or a controller or somebody who doesn't facilitate the work of the team, and as a result this lack of facilitation results in all kinds of problems and trauma in the team itself. In our own work on teams and team decision making, Kathy Malik and I have emphasized that team leaders and team decision makers really have to distinguish in the team decision making activity the difference between the process and the outcome. Often in teams, decision making is a problem in process rather than a problem in relationship. The appropriate use of good tools and strategies in moving the team towards decision making is really critical to the success of the decision itself. Using good technique and method with regard to processing decision making is as critical as any other element in the decision making dynamic. And it's often here where team leaders and executives really fail in helping teams move. This is an important consideration when you are an innovator and you're invested and involved in the innovation process. It becomes really critical to engage others, to be able to manage the information and dialogue and the team dynamic that is a result of the collective wisdom of the members at the table, in order to really get at the elements of good innovation and to make good decisions in relationship to it. This is the most difficult process because it involves not only experience and the application of good methodology, but the ability to confront the challenges and vagaries of human personality and character and how that plays out in relationship to individuals and each other. First thing that's really important with regard to the team is that they understand why they have gathered. Teams should be fulfilling specific purposes that somehow meet the strategic imperatives of the organization. Not being aware of what it is they're gathering to do and being clear that gathering together relates specifically to achieving outcomes is really critical. One of the greatest failures in at least health organizations is the gathering of people together and the lack of clarity with regard to the outcomes to which they are directed. So many of the teams and committees and processes in healthcare are gathered essentially to do a lot of processing and deliberative work, but not necessarily to really accomplish a lot of decisional activities for which the team needs to be gathered. Therefore, it's really important for the team leader to be able to establish the gathering of the team and the outcome to which that gathering is related. Now, often there are time-bound processes associated with team activities, so the team tends to forget periodically what their fundamental purpose is and gets co-opted by the process itself. It is always wise for team leaders to clearly identify at the beginning of each time a team gets together what its primary mission and goal is, and what the outcomes are related to the gathering. Now, that can be substantive outcomes in terms of the ultimate goal or endpoint of the team, if there is one, but it can also be the incremental goals that may be essentially identified for the team meeting at a particular moment in time. At the outset, the expectations for accomplishment and the goal achievements that are anticipated by the leader during that particular team meeting should be as clearly identified as the agenda or the processes associated with the team. Knowing what decisions we're here to make and what it means to make those decisions is as critical as the processes associated with the decisions themselves. So that becomes a really critical first step that's important for the effectiveness of a team. Team leaders always know that outcomes drive everything. In our own work, we suggest that the team needs to be directed towards clearly defined outcomes by being certain as early as possible what purpose or outcomes to which their gathering has been directed. And that statement needs to be as clearly defined at the outset of the team's meeting as any time. Now, there's clearly some dialogue around some team meeting where a part of the role of the team itself is to make that decision. Well, again, that's a decision that needs to be as clearly articulated with regard to the goal of the team as any other decision might be. Identifying that effectively at the outset by making it clear that we have gathered together in order to ascertain what goals we may need to have as a team is just as much an initiating goal as any other goal that might be prescribed for the team coming out of the strategic or tactical processes of the management organization in the system. As in everything, leadership is critical to the success of collective action. Therefore, the team leader has to recognize that the effectiveness of the team has as much to do with him or her as it does with the processes and the members of the team. As a result, the team leader must focus as much on the preparation activity for the team processes as the team process itself. It's recommended that the team leader have a sort of a checklist that he or she goes through in preparation for team process so that the team leader can be as aware of their activities as the process of the team itself. The team leader should make sure that all elements of the team and the team performance are going to be acting congruently with their purposes and objectives. The team leader is going to have to be consistent with regard to their own leadership activities and with the processes associated with the team activities as well. Being clear about what the rules of engagement are, the rules of process, the rules of interaction, the elements that will influence the team relationship, which leads to anticipating the personality and character relationships and interactions of the members of the team, being really, really clear about the structural obligations of the team, timeline, goals, the processes associated with expectations, the performance expectations of the team, the resource issues for gathering the team together, all of these elements are a part of the initiating checklist of the team leader that helps guide the team leader in making decisions about the team function and the team's readiness for its own work. Now here again, at the outset, the team leader sets up the team for its work and for the potential to be successful in it. Much of the failure of teams and the struggle with teams is the lack of preparation on the part of the leader in setting up the effectiveness of the team by recognizing the presets that are necessary to make sure that a team can do its work. There's no point in gathering a team if the team activities and the members of the team are not essentially empowered to do the work that the team is gathered together to do. So the leader sets up the frame for the team in a way that makes it possible for the team to be successful, making those expectations clear at the outset and setting up the dynamics and the processes where that can be identified is really an important first stage of team effectiveness. Now, a part of doing that is a set of activities that relates to the empowering of the team or the charge and challenge of the team for its work in undertaking the expectations and activities of the team process. First of all, the team leader has to make it clear to the team that they have essentially the power and the authority, the accountability, and the freedom to undertake the task that is given them. One of the greatest dangers to the success of a team, as a matter of fact, can really diminish the value of doing teamwork at all, is to gather a team together to do work that they have ostensibly been empowered to do, only to find out that it's simply process work. Decisions are really going to be made elsewhere or have already been made, or the team simply is not empowered to do what it is they have been gathered to do. That disenfranchisement of the team at the outset is a death knell to engagement, to ownership, to investment, or to effective team process. So being clear about what the team is empowered to do, what its decisions are, its ability to undertake actions, and the ability essentially to obtain the outcome for which they've been gathered is really an important first step. Now, that translates into the team leader really making it clear by setting up a team charter at the outset, which outlines and defines in writing on the flip chart, because no team leader worth their salt would meet without some kind of two-dimensional medium that the team can use to actually see the processes and functional elements of the work as they unfold it, so that the purposes, the meaning, the value of the team, the reason for gathering, and all of the elements related to the team's charge is clear and visible at the outset, so that any questions related to that or any open issues or undecided elements of the setup and the purpose and direction of the team can be dealt with up front. So what we've done now is we've said rules of engagement, preparation with regard to personality and characteristics of team members, making sure that the processes and the structures and the charges and the challenges related to why the team is gathering are all clear and precisely defined. Secondly, we've said let's make sure that the rules of engagement are in place and that the processes associated with how the team unfolds, the dynamics and relatedness with regard to communication, interaction, and all of the rules of engagement around how the team is going to essentially relate and dialogue together must be clarified at the outset so that the team is clear about those kind of elements. And then third, making sure that the team is clear about its purpose, about its goals, its mission, its direction, and all of the things that relate to initiating the team's activity around that outcome orientation. The timeline related to how much time the team has for its own processing is also an important element of that. So we're really setting up the team for the fundamental work that it will do. It's usually failure in doing this work that creates the greatest amount of trouble in getting a team focused and directed and successfully staged, if you will, to do its work in a meaningful way. When the team leader doesn't do his or her work, it is reflected in the inadequacies of the team process itself. Much of the team's work actually occurs around the team or outside of the team dynamic in making sure that the discipline of the team process has been planned for and carefully constructed by the team leader in advance of the team's activity. Now, another part of the setting up and the empowering of teams is to make sure that the parameters with regard to the specifics and the identity of the role of team members, the issues around team behaviors and team practices, the issues of non-participation, non-ownership or investment, the cost, if you will, or the consequences of non-engagement and of being present but not necessarily participating, all of the things related to the secondary stages of the rules of engagement regarding participation and investment, ownership and engagement are really, really critical. So the expectations with regard to membership are clear. Often, you know, you'll gather a team together and then talk about the purposes of the team and the work of the team and those kinds of things without really spending time talking about what does it mean to be a team member? What are the expectations around team membership that are going to be important for your own engagement in the team and your own role? Also talk about the evaluation of process, evaluation of contribution, and the expectations and consequences of both participation and of non-participation. Now, this isn't a punitive process. This is simply a clarification process so that people can be clear at the outset what it is we're here to do and to be. And then, of course, recognize initially the variety of characteristics and personalities that you're going to have on the team. You're going to have actors and reflectors and varying degrees of each of those. With the actors on a team, you're clearly not worried about whether they're going to participate. They are participating before they even arrive. The reflectors, however, are a little bit more difficult to discern with regard to the contribution that they're going to make because they often are the quieter, more reflective and thoughtful players that are not necessarily as ready or as willing to communicate or articulate what they're thinking or where they are as actors are. Remember, it's a part of the technique development of the leader to be able to access all of the insight and contribution that each member of the team has to make. And that means the leader reflects on the unique characteristics and contributions of each team member, and in that reflection adjusts the leadership of the team process to match the need and the behavioral structure of the team members. Equally important is clarification around the accountability of the team. Now again, it's important to understand that accountability is not like responsibility. Accountability has three elements that define it: autonomy, authority, and competence. And what you want to be able to communicate to team members is what exactly do they have the authority to do? What power do they have to exercise decisions in relationship to the agenda that they've been given? Here again, a big failure of teams is that the team is unclear about what latitude it has to decide and to act. If a team doesn't have accountability for its goals, for its deliberation, and for the achievement of the outcomes that come with the team process, it's pretty difficult for the team to essentially value what they're doing, to commit their energies to what they're doing, or actually to do anything. So one of the things that we want to really do at the outset is we want to make clear about this notion of team accountability by giving it a language, and in that language having a foundation and expression that will help the team be very clear about the role it will play and the activities associated with that role that give the team some sense of what its power and authority is to do the work that it's doing. Second, the right to be able to do that work, the clear delineation that the organization or the leadership have given with regard to this team's right to be able to actually undertake the activities that are on its agenda. The notion that it is simply an advisory group or a process group or a deliberative group doesn't really get at value with regard to the team deliberations and team decision making. A team needs to have what's necessary to be able to do its work. That includes the accountability, the autonomy, if you will, to undertake that work, the right, the freedom to undertake the work that's assigned to it without fear of compromise or jeopardy or diminishment. Now, embedded in this is some real concerns, especially with professional workers on teams, is that once a team has been given its charter or its challenge, been given its autonomy and its authority, it's got to move freely knowing that that authority isn't going to be compromised, adjusted, challenged, or removed simply by doing its work. one of the risks that one takes with regard to team decision making is that the collective wisdom of the members of the team, clearly broader and more deliberative than the unilateral wisdom of the individual, leads to making particular decisions that may not be the same decisions that are made if an individual is making them unilaterally. The reason you gather teams is to benefit from the collective wisdom, the diversity and variety of views that are present at the table. As a result of that diversity, it's important to recognize that the team needs to be able to have the accountability to make the right decision based on the synthesis and integration of the wisdom that the team brings to the table. Without being able to do that, the value of team decision making is compromised, and the unilateral decision making of individuals may be the only recourse left to the organization, with all of the limitations that that implies. Now, another thing that's very important in the construction of the team and the membership of the team is the competence that the members of the team bring to the table. The real issue with regard to team effectiveness is the successful and appropriate diversity of members in relationship to the task that's going to be undertaken. This notion of diversity is really an emphasis of the uniqueness that each member brings to the process that has essentially reflected skills that the team needs to be able to do its work. The construction of a team should not be casual or informal. The construction of a team needs to reflect the clear delineation of the purposes and work of the team so that those members who make up that team reflect the decisions that need to be made there and the skills necessary to make good decisions. So this diversity and the skills that are brought to the table become an important setup consideration for the team leader as a part of preparing around the decision and the processes associated with making those decisions. Often teams fail simply because the competence and effectiveness of team members are compromised by the inability of the team members to be able to competently do their work. Beyond constructing carefully around the notion of creating sufficient diversity for the team to do its work is the necessary role the team leader has to determine the competence of the team in team process and in group dynamics. A good part of setting up a team for success is what you do up front with regard to preparing them for team process and for preparing them for the task at hand. If there are issues of learning or development or information sharing, much of that needs to occur up front, either prior to the team meeting or during the early sessions of team processing, so that the skills and information necessary for the team to undertake the work that's in front of it has been a part of the preparation of the team in doing that. Developing and learning not only the content elements of the team's process, but the relational and interactional expectations and skills necessary to undertake the work of the team are critical foundations necessary for preparing the team to be successful in undertaking its activities. Now, clearly, cost and resource issues make it difficult for all of this to occur at the front end of the team or prior to the team's doing its work. Therefore, a lot of the processes associated with developing the team and the learning curve related to making the team capable of doing its work may be incorporated in the first few sessions of the team process itself, so that as the team begins to undertake elements of the initial phases of its work, the developmental learning skill set processes can be incorporated as a part of the time spent in doing that work. Much of the work of the team leader is going to be trying to set up to avoid or to address early challenges or conflicts that are bound to occur in all human dynamics and human interaction. So a part of what you're doing in all of the initial activities with regard to what we're talking about here in setting up a team successfully is trying to anticipate what some of those issues might be that relate to the construction of a team rather than to the issue that may be at the table. Often what you don't realize in team process is much of the conflict or challenge or noise at the team table relates not to the topic at hand or the issues that the team is confronting with regard to its charge, but clarification and frustration and a lack of understanding of the basic constructs of the team process, of the interaction and dynamics of team relationship, and of the structure of the team's relationship and work. Without that level of clarity, sometimes that ambiguity creates the problems that are operating just kind of under the surface that may be really driving the conflict instead of the agenda that may have challenges embedded in it with regard to differences of views. Trying to sort out which is operating here, either the structure of inadequate team process or conflicts with regard to the team's relational or interactional dynamics is the role of the leader and should be anticipated to the fullest extent possible so that you can diminish the impact of team structure on conflict processes as the team undertakes its work over time. Finally, the success of setting up a team relates to being really clear about what the values are and the value added is for the organization and members of the team for actually doing its work. While purpose and goal is very important, and we certainly spent good time mentioning that, what's equally important is to determine what the value is, what the value added, what the difference will be with regard to the organization or with regard to practice or outcomes, with regard to impact on the quality of individuals' lives or the quality of patient care or the quality of the organization and its way of doing business and the processes related to that. Somehow or other, the team must be clear as early as possible what value questions are going to be answered by undertaking the work that has been identified as the agenda of the team. These value-based questions give meaning to the team's processes and helps personalize for team members what difference their contribution is going to make. This is especially important with regard to professionals. Professionals are very, very interested in the impact they're going to have, the difference they're going to make, what value their time spent is with regard to their own lives or the lives of those that they're going to somehow influence or impact. Being clear about this and identifying this as a part of the dynamic of the team process helps personalize the process itself and give some impetus that comes from the individual member of the team, some real value and meaning with regard to the work that they're doing as members of the team. Finally, just a little note about the team leader, him or herself. Team effectiveness is influenced, as we've just mentioned, by how well the team is set up, by the contextual issues associated with the team, at least as important as the issues and the processes associated with the team deliberations, which we will cover again in more team podcasts as we develop the concept of team over time. I want to just really focus on some of the elements, if you will, of good team leadership. The leader, him or herself, often sets the agenda and sets the tone for the effectiveness of the team. And like we've mentioned in previous podcasts, that first 5 minutes of interaction when the members of the team or between individuals generally sets up the insight that individual or team is going to have with regard to each other and to the leadership for a good deal of time thereafter. So the perception of the leader and the perspective the team members get of the leader early in the process is going to be really critical to effective team processing. So we want leaders who have good intuition and insight regarding others' behaviors, the interactional process, relational dynamics, so that so that these insights and these intuitions with regard to people's behavior and the relational aspects can serve as a huge, huge benefit to both the team and the leader in anticipating and preparing for the dynamics associated with interaction, communication, and the challenges and conflicts that are sometimes embedded in handling those. Second, we want the team member to have an ability to anticipate conflicts and challenges and be able to read the signposts of the team dynamics as we are deliberating issues of concern or issues of challenge or some of the issues that may have some embedded conflict in them, so that the leader can set up ahead of time ways in which those challenges can be met and can be anticipated. We also expect the leader to have a little bit of courage. Courage in confronting challenges. You cannot gather people together without also expecting the products of differences and recognizing that in handling differences, in handling diversity, there are going to be conflicts and there are going to be relational issues that are going to create some noise and reaction within the group. The leader must know that this is a fundamental part of the experience of group interaction and be prepared to confront those vagaries and occurrences with normative and effective anticipation and the skills necessary to really deal with them well. Also, we want the leader to demonstrate good assessment skills with regard to the team's work progress, to looking at the work progress in light of the goals, and also to look at the relationship to goal achievement that the progress has at any given time in the team's activity or stages of unfolding. We also want the leader to be able to make whatever adjustments are necessary fairly critically and quickly when certain processes aren't working or the movement towards the goal isn't happening in a meaningful way or some of the challenges related to group process and group dynamics are creating a lack of focus or a lack of centeredness on the team's goals and those activities necessary to achieve them. We also want this team leader to bring a commitment to the team learning and development, growth and skill advancement, so that not only are you advancing towards the goals to which the team is gathered to address, but you're also developing members' effectiveness in deliberation, in team dynamics, and in goal pursuit. This developmental component of team process is equally as important, although not nearly as clearly directed, as the achievement of the team's goals. The more you develop the members of the team, the more able they are to use those skills in future team activities, regardless of what the team may be gathered for, the goals that may be set with regard to team process. And finally, for this podcast, we want to just end with emphasizing that we really want the team leader to be able to read the signposts of the team's work, all of the signposts that are affecting the team's work, internal, external, environmental, contextual, as well as process-oriented, and incorporate those into the leader's own role of helping the team manage its processes and its work and move towards success. The team leader is really, really critical to the effectiveness of the team's deliberation. The more tools that person has to provide good leadership, the more skills that they develop, the more utility that they have with regard to the team process and their own comfort in it, is perhaps the single most critical, advantageous characteristic of good and effective team process. While the team dynamics have a lot of elements to them, and this podcast is simply dealing with a very few of them, these basic constructs in setting up for team effectiveness are really, really critical frames that can determine whether a team will be effective or not effective. The more the team leader, especially in the process of innovation, which is really, really critical, when you're gathering the collective wisdom together, having done this foundational work and established the presets, the better the team is configured to be able to undertake the very, very challenging and creative work of innovation, deliberation, and processing in a way that is effective and meaningful. the more you attend to these initial team development and structuring activities and all of the things that relate to how the team processes its work, the better you can expect that the team will be successful in doing its work.